Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And as we yield to God, as we give way to Him, we become powerful because we're allowing Him, we're inviting Him to operate with His wisdom in our lives. That's where we're mighty. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. Now think about that for a minute. That's a powerful statement, and it's true because it came from the Holy Spirit. He didn't say some things. He said all things through Christ who strengthens me. In this life, Christ can strengthen you and help you see what you normally wouldn't see and do what you normally could not do. God loves us. And the enemy fought hard and long trying to stop the works of Christ. In many other broadcasts, we talked about how he tried to create wars and distractions and annihilate Judah. He tried to get the people of God in all forms of sin. And before the flood, he dispatched fallen angels to marry women. And they were the sons of God. They were angels. And he tempted them with women, and they made with women and had giants. This was supposed to corrupt the seed of man. He was trying to stop the seed of woman from coming. And he didn't know how it was coming, but he knew it was coming. And he didn't understand all the facts, but he tried to kill Jesus. Just like every man-made religion, it's a distraction that tries to get in the way of Christ. And Satan uses it as an illusion to get people off track. Because the only way he can take us to hell, we have to not believe on Jesus Christ. If he can get people to not believe Jesus Christ, they belong to him. They are in his kingdom. Every religion, every thought of every... some people, they follow through with their fiery darts. The enemy shoots darts of doubt and unbelief. Fiery darts of the enemy. And people go by those things instead of God. Instead of God. Jesus is God's only way out of this misery. And the world system is misery. It's wrong. And it's a trap. It's designed to trap. It's designed by Satan to trap people. But the only way out is through Christ. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So when we yield to the Lord, we are strengthened by the Lord. And we operate according to his works, according to his purpose. And we become like him in every way. Yielding to the Holy Spirit is our highest form of wisdom. That's where we're strong. When God ordains something, when anytime God gives an instruction, especially an assignment, the anointing to perform it is in that assignment. You have his ability to do this thing. You have his wisdom to perform it. Now, the anointing will also teach you. Some things you're going to learn because you're anointed. The anointing will build you up so that you'll have faith to activate it. It always takes faith to activate the anointing, whether you are the provider of the anointing or the recipient. Now, by provider, I mean the one who has the assignment. You're relaying that anointing to others. Now, the Holy Spirit is the originator. But once you have the anointing, you have that anointing to do good with it. That's why I say the provider. But it takes faith for the man of God or woman of God to activate the anointing that God has given them, that he's graced them with. We couldn't give that wonderful holy anointing to ourselves. The Holy Spirit did, at the Father's will. But once we have it, we have it. And then in order to use it, you have to activate it by your faith. And the training helps you to know what to do. When you're anointed to do something, it's not of you, it's of God. But in order to use it, you have to yield to God and receive all the knowledge he gives, the training. And you have to contend for the faith. You can't let Satan interrupt what you're doing. It's the same pattern that God gave Adam. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. That's how you activate the anointing. And when you do that, it works. And then the recipient, when you use the anointing, when you activate it, people will see things, the things of God in operation. And then they, by faith, activate that anointing. And when they activate it, they receive from it. And it's useful in their lives. Makes a difference. And then they change from glory to glory. They become holy. A blessing. This is because God loves us. This is his super grace. Anytime we yield to the Lord, we can do the things of God. Anytime we yield to the Lord, we can do what he will have us do. We can go forward in him. And it's time now that we do. God loves us. He cares about us in every way of life. He's going to help us to do all the things that he's given us to do. We're going to see the mighty works of God. We're going to see what he can do in our lives. As we yield to him, that's all he needs. As we yield to him, we don't depend on anything in this world system. We don't depend on the works of the world. We don't depend on the riches of the world. We don't depend on the people of the world. But we're looking to the Lord. And then the Lord, the anointing, we will be supplied with all that we need. We are anointed to prosper if we need prosperity to finish God's work. We're anointed to attract the right people to help us. Everything we need is in the anointing. All you have to do is activate it. When you begin doing what God said do, it's like a snowball. It picks up everything it needs along the way. If you're wise and continue to watch the Holy Spirit and pay attention to him, only if you're wise and you continue the process, you're going to go way beyond what man can do. Men fall short. But if you follow the guidance of God, you're going to go far beyond what men can do. But if you, most men of God and women of God, they look over and see what others are doing, and they limit themselves, and they do what they see other pastors do, and other men, women of God do, other men and women of God. They do what's normal. They do what's accepted. Now, yesterday at the end of our class, we talked about apostles, how God still calls apostles, but most of them try not to. They don't want to go by that calling. An apostle is not a super pastor. He's a pastor is a pastor, and an apostle is an apostle. But tradition says the same wrong teaching, error, doctrine of the devil that was taught against healing, saying that it went out with the apostles, and the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit went out with the apostles. And then God stopped calling apostles after the first apostles died out. Those are lies, all of them. God still calls apostles and prophets. He still calls evangelists, pastors, and teachers. They still exist. Apostles still exist. Healing still exists. We need it. It would have been stupid for God to stop healing when the apostles died. It would have been dumb. God don't do dumb. He's not foolish. He's wise. Very wise. And he's loving. Everybody who teach that healing went out with the apostles, they're not looking at the God of the Bible. They're looking at men. And they believe lies. They don't understand God's character. They may love him, and thank God they do preach salvation. But they're wrong about the rest of it. They're wrong about what they teach wrong. God still, apostles are necessary. And a man, sometimes pastors, they have a large congregation, and other ministers start under their ministry and branch out and have churches. That doesn't mean that they're an apostle. They just did. That's what a pastor's supposed to do, prepare people to live. And some people are called to the ministry. And some people, God used mightily, and they came. Teachers do the same thing. Now, they were set last in the fivefold ministry. But teachers teach apostles. That doesn't mean that they're apostles. They're teachers. It's a function, folks. It's something we do. It's a gift. We didn't call ourselves, we didn't enable ourselves to be apostles or prophets or evangelists or pastors or teachers. See, if a pastor tries to be an evangelist, it won't work. You have to have an anointing to be effective. You'll get a few people saved, but the evangelists, they have God's ability to get people saved. And they're anointed. They have the anointing to do this. An evangelist has to be strong in the Lord. They can't be weak, because we bear fruit after our kind. You have to live according to God's word. You have to be strong and mighty in the Lord. Evangelists work miracles too. Now, all these things are certain. You have to have the anointing for things to work right. The calling of an apostle is an anointing that God gave. You either have that anointing or you don't. If God didn't give you that anointing, then you're not an apostle. But most of the apostles that I know, other apostles, they try to hide from it. They introduce themselves as a minister or a pastor, but they have that gift. And when they preach it, it's obvious if you know what to look for. Now, discerning of spirits operate in my ministry. But I know a pastor, I know more than one, they were ministering, and I said, that's an apostle. But they don't want that title because it comes with a backlash. It's out of the norm of him, of an American thinking process. But if you, whatever God give you, that's what you need to operate in. That's where you're going to be effective. You can't be cowardly and say you're not what God called you to be. That's wrong. And you're going to have to give an account. You're going to have to stand before Christ, give an account for what you've done. And I got to stand before my Savior who loves me and give an account for what I've done. And I know this. And sometimes, you know, in Job, the sons of God presented themselves before the Lord. Then Satan came to present himself before the Lord. One day we're going to stand before him, just like they did. So sometimes I ask the Lord, Lord, how am I doing? What do I need to be doing now? And he tell me what to do. And then I look for the rebuke of revelation, how when he addressed the churches, most of the time it was their first love that they left. But I protect my first love. I want my first love. I want graduated love towards God and his people. Now, I don't think about this every now. I think about it continually. And I started saying, I will do all that's in his heart to get rid of all the... See, we pick up things along the course of this world. We live in the world system. And the world system is effective. The world system can get you to do things you wouldn't normally do. Now, Paul explains this in Romans chapter 7. So that's why you have to read Romans chapter 8, because it teaches you how to overcome the influences of the world. Now, I'm down here in darkness, where darkness is, and I don't want it to get on me. So I confess by my faith that I will do all that's in God's heart. In God's heart, everything he has planned for me, I want to make sure that I fulfill it without satanic interference. And doubtful interference. Doubt is satanic. Unbelief is very satanic. It's rejection. I don't want to reject God's will to do something else when I could be enjoying God's will. I don't want to do my own thing. I don't want to do what men would sanction. I want to do what God sanctions. See, when you do these things, when you yield to the Holy Spirit, he's going to take you far beyond what normal people are doing. They operate naturally. What's accepted, what's promoted, what people look to. But I don't care about all that. I only want to do what God wants me to do. Because yielding to God, that's my message, folks. Those who have heard these broadcasts, this is what the Lord, my God, gave me to minister. This is what's lacking. This is what's missing. You get this right, you get everything right. You look to Jesus, your whole body will be full of light. You won't want anything of the dark anymore. And you'll go forward and not backwards. And it'll be good. You're going to love it. Now, there are elements of prosperity. I thought about how people that prosper, how they do things. I've seen many married couples and some married people. Some people have allowed weaknesses in their lives. And they never learn to stop whining and crying and being depressed and being knocked off their block. By that I mean, you know, sometimes children grow up and they never get away from their parents' weaknesses and dramas. Now that sounds bold, but it is. If their parents, I've noticed people who usually, if they have parents that fuss a lot and get people told or speak loud to get their point across, they grow up doing this. And if their parents get depressed and won't try, then their children do the same thing. We bear fruit after our kind. There are men of God that married wives that never grew up. And they spend most of the day trying to console their wife. It's the same thing with men. There are men that never get it right, and they have godly wives. And they won't grow up, so they are a distraction. And the wife can't do what God wanted to do because her husband won't grow up. Now, I once asked the Lord to teach me about prosperity. There are things that I don't know about prosperity that I wanted to know. And since that time, I learned you got to drive fear out of your life, because fear attaches Satan to what you're doing, and he'll interrupt you. Now, that was a big one to me. You have to drive worry out, too, because it'll reduce the strength you have to go forward. You can't prosper perfectly worrying about things. The Word of God said, let us lay aside every weight. Now, people can be just as distracting because they won't grow up. They won't do God's Word. And you have to decide to govern your life. You have to, if you have a person that won't grow up, that means you got to be the stronger one in order to do what God has given you to do. So, what you have to do, you have to do like Joshua and study the Word day and night, so that you can make all the perfect decisions you need to make and yield and continually yield to the Lord. And since they won't grow, since they refuse to grow up, you have to be strong for them, because they're going to always need you to be strong. But people who truly prosper and do well in life, they grow in the Lord and they're strong. And the people around them do the same thing. Instead of arguing about depression and daily worries and the daily routine and being frustrated, they're learning how to prosper even more. And they're learning how to do more with what they have. And the skills they lack, they have a chance to learn them too. Let's say a man starts a small business and it's growing. And every time he hire people, people have to be governed. And it takes a lot of wisdom to help people grow and govern people. And you're paying people to do a job for you. And you have to show them how to do it so that you can reduce the interference. You have to have rules. And if you get it right, even the most stubborn people will fall in place and the company will grow. And the more people that's included, the more rules you're going to need. And if you hire people that'll just do their job, you need less rules. But it takes the wisdom of God to do this, because all of them have their own train of thought. And they all have gifts, and they all have things that they bring to the company. It's a company. It's a group. So, if you're distracted at home by somebody that won't grow up, it's harder to do it. But if you have a healthy relationship, and if your children grow and they do what's right, and they're healthy in their mindsets, they won't be lazy, and they won't pull you. When people are lazy and won't pull their weight, they bring a negativity to every element that they touch. But people who prosper, they learn how to deal with the ways of others. And the Lord will give you personal wisdom. You don't have to hate them. You don't have to be mean to them. Love them. That's the main thing. Love them anyway. But by the wisdom of God, you'll know how to navigate. You'll know how to deal with them. Because people only change if they want to. See, we need the guidance of God. We need to yield to the Lord, because none of the things that I'm saying are easy. But with God's wisdom, some things can be corrected, and people that won't change, God will show you how, the Lord will show you how to deal with them so that they cannot interfere with what you're doing. Only his wisdom, I can't do that, but his wisdom will give you those answers. You're going to have to trust the Lord concerning his people. He told me, don't walk by sight with my people. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to give you mighty wisdom. As you yield to him, you will know how to govern and you'll know how to prosper and not fail, but do all that's in God's heart. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.